Hey, Coach, when you think about the beginning of the school year, how do you feel? Unsure? Doubtful? Overwhelmed? You're not alone. Since the dawn of time, instructional coaches have been left to figure things out on their own, resulting in frustration and failure. But it doesn't have to be that way. Instead, let's start the year with a roadmap that tells you exactly what to do each day for the exponentially important first 20 days of school. The things you do that first month of school will make or break your coaching year. Let's do the right things together. Head to buzzingwithmissb.com/startup to join the waitlist for my instructional coaching startup course. The course opens in mid-July, but if you join the waitlist, you'll receive a coupon code for 15% off when the course opens up. I can't wait to help you start strong and coach better this year. Welcome to Instructional Coaching with Miss B, where we believe that every teacher deserves a coach and every coach does too. I'm Chrissy Beltran, an elementary teacher who became a coach, and I had to create my own coaching program that worked. Now I teach coaches how to design their coaching programs, build a school-wide action plan, and use differentiated strategies to support teachers. Plus, I've got a special spot in my heart for literacy coaches. Now let's dig into the episode. Welcome to episode 195, Success Stories, Instructional Coaching Startup with David White. Today, we are going to talk to one of my students from Instructional Coaching Startup about the things that he did in the first 20 days of his instructional coaching work this year and what was successful for him and what he'd change. I'm really excited to have this conversation with David because I love to talk to coaches about how they're establishing themselves as coaches. And because I love it, I have some really great resources for you that you're going to love. Instructional Coaching Startup is the course that teaches you what to do in the first 20 days of instructional coaching to set yourself up for a successful year. Let's do the right things together in the first 20 days of coaching. If you go to buzzingwithmissb.com/startup, you can actually join the waitlist. And whenever the course opens in a couple of weeks, you will get a coupon code to use to board the course. And you're going to love it. It's already priced really well. And so then you're going to get a really nice little coupon savings if you join that waitlist. So go to buzzingwithmissb.com/startup to join the waitlist. I also have a free course for you. And so there's a free email course that you can grab, or you can also join us live in my Facebook group, Instructional Coaching with Miss B, to do this as a 5-day kind of event throughout a week, 1 week. And in the Facebook group. So you can either join the Facebook group, Instructional Coaching with Miss B, to join the Design Your Role Challenge, or you can go to buzzingwithmissb.com/jumpstart and get an email every day for the challenge, helping you guide yourself through the process of designing your coaching role, creating your 3x3 vision, so many essential things for establishing yourself as a coach and knowing what you need to focus on this coming year. So that's what I wanted to let you know about before we got started with this amazing episode with David. And now that we've got that established, let's welcome David to the podcast. Welcome, David, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, Chrissy. Thanks for having me.
All right. So as a quick way to introduce yourself, I would love for you to share about a few things. The first is, who do you help? The second is, how do you spend most of your time and energy at work?
Yeah. So I'm at a site that has preschool or pre-K through sixth grade. So an elementary site. I'm primarily working with TK through six, TK through two, doing a lot of more literacy, early reading, and then three through six. I'm kind of focused on math. So that's where I spend most of my time.
Awesome. Okay. And then what is your go-to TV show that you always love to watch, like a rewatchable show? Just a question to kind of get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Anything cooking. So whether, Nailed It, we watch TV as a family, so my kids are super into food, super into cooking and competition. So any of those shows where they're cooking and they're trying to compete with each other and they're trying to make dishes and stuff. So that's what we've been into.
Yeah, those are fun. Those are fun. My daughter started watching, is it Cake, with her grandfather?
Yeah. Last weekend. Yes.
And my 3-year-old, the 6-year-old is the one who was watching it. The 3-year-old came out of the bedroom. I said, "Hey, what's Annie doing?" And she goes, "She's watching Is It Cake, but it's not cake."
Oh, we love that show too. And that guy's hilarious. And I have an 8-year-old who tries to do the same thing. He'll make something and try to trick me. It's a rock, but really it's a cupcake or something.
That's cute.
So it's so cool. Yeah. We love that show. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Problem with those shows is it makes you hungry, though, right, Chrissy? Oh, you watch a cooking show, and hey, we better go try it. We better go eat. And so, anyway, yeah. But it's
I can remember when
it's
I first discovered Tasty videos back in the day, whenever this was like kind of a new thing, and they would show people prepare like that overhead camera that was like a new, you know, angle. And oh my gosh, I was obsessed with it.
His mouth is watering watching TV.
Yeah,
I know.
For sure.
I know. Yeah.
Okay. So I would love to talk to you a little bit about, you know, how this year started, how this year has gone. Really looking at instructional coaching startup, but also anything else that you've done that was really helpful to you. So can you kind of talk a little bit about what your role looked like in August, what it looks like now, you know, how it's evolved throughout the year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in the beginning of the year, with every role, or especially in coaching, beginning of the year, I'm building a culture, a coaching culture. In a lot of scenarios, I think coaching has this negative idea, right? If I'm being coached, that means I'm a struggling teacher, or that means I'm new, or the principal sent you to me. And so I'm really in the beginning of the year, just trying to set the tone, building culture that every teacher deserves a coach. And I kind of get that from you. Every teacher deserves a coach, and every coach deserves a coach. So just building that culture. So incredibly positive, making myself incredibly visible, getting in every classroom and leaving very uplifting, positive notes, and serving, you know, whether it be, Hey, I got a couple minutes. How can I serve you? Like, how can I support you? Can I make copies? Can I relieve? You know, can you want to go to the bathroom real quick? So like in the beginning of the year, it's all about building the culture, letting them know I'm on their team. Like I'm on their team. Now, you know, as the years progress, now it's about maintaining that. I think it's really easy to light a big fire and be like, oh, we're all excited about coaching. And then all of a sudden it starts dwindling. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if this is time stamped or what, but right now we're currently, we're starting our state testing over, I'm over here in California. And so it's really easy for me to be just sitting back and being like, okay, I can't help anybody now because they're on their own. But right now it's all about maintaining. So just staying visible, staying in classes. So we're the beginning of the year, I'm trying my best to meet with all the teachers and being very positive, being very visible. Right now I'm checking in with teachers I've already worked with. I'm maintaining relationships that I've built. But I'm also keeping myself accountable, saying, hey, I can't just coast to the end of the year. I got to maintain this. And how do I maintain the momentum? And that's been the biggest thing. And I think maybe every coach maybe could relate of like, okay, momentum as a coach, really high. And then there's load, you know, right around the holidays, you're like, I don't know what to do. But right now it's all about maintaining momentum and maintaining relationships and pushing the needle further.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought that up about every coach, every teacher needing a coach, because I think that one of the issues that we see is whenever coaches define their role, and it's not usually their choice, it's usually admin that has directed this, in terms of you only support, like you mentioned, struggling teachers, you only support teachers, you know, who need help. But in reality, we are all supposed to grow all the time. So then we should all be needing the support, like as a partner, you know, a learning partner.
Absolutely. It's critical, right? I mean, that's you know, everybody calls it something different, but the PLC, or the professional learning community, there's the L is there for a reason. We're learning. And so as teachers, we should be learning. And as coaches, we should be learning. And if we're not, if we take that piece out and we just stick with our own way and we think that this is the best, and it burnout happens and staleness happens. Yeah, it's this idea that every teacher, man, you don't have to have a coach. Like LeBron James doesn't need a coach. He asks for a coach, right? Like LeBron James has like 20 coaches, his fitness coach, is this coach, his free throw coach, and like even the most expert teachers deserve someone in there to just help refine them. And so that's kind of been the culture that we've been trying to create, is shifting away from, oh, only if you're struggling, yep, you get this guy.
Right.
Hey, man, you're the best teacher on this campus, yet, man, how can I help? Mm-hmm. Hey, how can I support? Mm-hmm. Let me help you see some blind spots.
Yes. Yeah, different perspective is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you went through the course, Instructional Coaching Startup, last year, right?
Yeah.
So What are some things that you got out of that course that you were glad that you did at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a great course. And I'll put in the plug right now, because I think I am not alone when it comes to what am I doing every day?
Right.
And especially the critical moments of the first few weeks of school. And so for me, there's really four major things that I've just inserted into my David White resource bucket. The first one is having that clarity conversation with the principal. That is huge. I have coaches in my district. So I'm a site coach. I work at one elementary, and every site has their own coach. And when I've noticed the tipping point in like creating my own job description, writing my vision statement out, writing out some goals I see, getting some ideas down on paper, and then scheduling, taking ownership, saying, Hey, principal or vice principal, or let's get together as us three. Let's sit down, and I lead the meeting saying, this is how I see my role going this year. And very fortunately through the course, you have the template of like planning that conversation. I had a chance to do that, and both admin, VP and principal bought in wholeheartedly.
Oh, great.
So I'm not the grunt work now. If they didn't know what I was doing, they'd be like, Hey, David, can you run over here and cover this class?
Yeah.
Hey, David, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you cover lunch duty?
Mm-hmm.
Which, sometimes that's inevitable, like
right.
You're going to. But they want to honor my time because they have a sense that I know what I'm doing. And so having that clarity conversation, getting on the same page with them, listing out what I'm thinking, what I'm my goals, and then saying, hey, how does this compare with your goals and how you see me this year? I think that sometimes we rely on assumptions, and that's a killer, right? And so just getting very clear from the beginning. So that's one that I highly encourage every coach. The template you've laid out, the kind of even in your in the video series, just laying that out, getting very comfortable and confident in having that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I've also become a survey junkie.
you've
given some ideas on getting feedback from teachers, but man, I've using Google Forms or whatever the district, I use Google. But it's so easy, and especially when you have buy-in from the admin and buy-in from the teachers. So I have surveys quarterly on how are we doing? What has been most effective as a coach? What has been least effective? Where would you like to see this role used in the next semester? And then inviting like criticism. And so that's been really good. And a lot of the intro to the instructional coach course is you lay out, this course or this role is really dependent on teachers. And in my role, I'm not really assigned to teachers. I am supportive when they ask. And so it's really a big deal to them that they know I'm on their team and I'm listening to what they want instead of just saying, hey, I'm going to do this.
Right.
There's a lot of buy-in when they say, or when they feel, whoa, hey, this guy, this coach, David, man, he's really digging into what I want and what I need. So the anonymous survey has been really helpful. And then the other two big things was off of that is building a coaching menu. So I had a chance, you have a form, a template. I made posters of my coaching menu. They're all over campus. Every teacher has a coaching menu posted in their room. I actually got one posted right here. Just gonna grab it real quick. But it starts with my vision. It says, as a coach, I support teachers in refining their best teaching practices, try new things, and help solve any challenges they are having. And then I kind of go through and I have, we do a lot, right, Chrissy?
Right.
We do a whole
right.
lot as coaches. But just narrowing it down to I came up with my top five
I
made it like little check boxes. And then I have a QR code so that they can sign up and they can ask. And so that coaching menu has been a really cool resource of just a constant reminder in teachers' brains saying, hey, okay, man, I've just had the worst day of teaching in my life. That class was difficult. That lesson didn't go as I thought. Wow, I really need, whoa. They look on the wall and they say, oh, well, there's somebody. So there's that. And then the last thing, I think humans and human nature, we tend to do the most comfortable thing. And so sometimes in a role that's really undefined, where there are days when there's nothing to do, right? Or and when I mean nothing, it's like, well, I don't know what else to do. Like, you know, as a teacher, it's highly structured. As a coach,
yes,
we got to be go-getters.
Yes.
And so creating the coaching schedule. I remember there's a phrase that you shared of like creating the perfect week mm-hmm. as a coach. And like really sitting down and just saying, man, I don't want to be just a really expensive lunch lady. You know?
Right.
I don't want to be known as like, oh, the guy that will make copies for me. And I don't want to be lazy. And it's really hard not to just sit back and there's nothing to do. I'll just sit here and I'll think of, you know, let me just brainstorm. No, it's like creating a schedule. So like you had a really nice template. I stole a lot of your ideas, but I have my schedule here. I update my schedule with my admin so they're clear on what I'm doing as far as like, and it changes, right? There's no exact day or week, but I have an idea. And as a matter of fact, I love the idea of like, what would be the perfect week? And then breaking it down to, okay, today, what would be the perfect day as an instructional coach? What would I be doing if it was the like the most effective? And I often, you know, I'll say, man, if, you know, I'm not trying to like make you feel good or anything, but I'll say, man, if Chrissy was sitting in my office all day and just watching me, or if my admin was sitting here watching me all day, would I feel comfortable doing what I'm doing?
Wow.
And so like going from the perfect week to the perfect day as a coach, like if I was hiring a coach, who do I want? So that's kind of when I think of that course that you kind of put out and I got to go through this last summer, it was really those four things. They're simple things that happen at the beginning of the year that really can make or break a coach's year. And I, you know, I'm sure you know, and we all know coaches who they don't have that clarity conversation. Right. So they get pulled around in every direction. Maybe they're not getting feedback from teachers. And so they're just going off on a whim on what they think. And maybe the teachers aren't bought in. They don't really have a coaching menu. So it's unclear to teachers what they do. And the last one is the schedule, right? If teachers or coaches don't have some sort of template of a schedule, or this is my Monday, this is my week at a glance. And then we end up filling it with things that are not that effective. Mm-hmm. And so those are all just accountability pieces that I thought that you do a really good job of supporting a coach. And if I don't know what to do, all right, here's some ideas and here's some templates. And here's a little bit of confidence in that, yeah, you can do this survey or you can have this conversation. And so those are my favorite pieces.
You know, I love that you pulled those out because they all kind of relate to this idea of like clarity around the vision, you know, that everybody mm-hmm. knows what you're there to do. And you also know what you're there to do, right? It's not just
yeah.
admin, that you feel confident in what you're supposed to be doing there and what direction you want to move in as a coach. And those pieces are like artifacts that help support that, you know,
I like exactly. That. Exactly.
So mm-hmm. then you already talked a little bit about some of the things that you've done to establish yourself earlier in the year, right? You talked that you really mm-hmm. focused on building that culture. Can you share a little bit more about that, about some of the things that you did that supported, you know, any of the things that you really focused on to create that environment?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it really comes down to like, I had to be very clear on what I was doing. So I took my job description and I pretty much rewrote it. And that's almost what I presented to my admin.
Yeah.
And then with that, having vulnerable conversations with teachers, I had opportunities at the beginning of the year talk to my admin. I'm like, hey, I'd love some time to just address the entire staff. And during those moments, I get to define this role. And I always love to start with what it's not, right? Like, hey, just so you all know, I'm not here to fix anybody. Like, if you see me, it's not because you're broken. Mm-hmm. And I always like this idea. I'm not trying to make you more like me. I'm trying to make you a better you, right? So like just having those definition conversations. I'm not a program pusher. I'm not in rooms with a checklist, making sure you have your objective on the board and I'm going to go tell on you if you don't. I'm not the spy of the admin. And then I always like to say like, hey, I'm not the expert. Just because I'm in this role doesn't make me any better or more expert than you. But I believe that two brains are better than one. And I'm pretty comfortable with where I'm at and where I'm going. And I'm pretty comfortable with where this school is and where we're going. But together, we're going to be better. And so it's just really having these really, I guess, conversations. So having that whole group and then just getting to know people. Mm-hmm. Building rapport with teachers. And so like building the culture of coaching is really building an environment where people can be vulnerable. And so leading the way, modeling, being vulnerable. And I'll be honest, like some of these, I'm kind of I'm not super young, but I'm not old. You know, I'm not the old, haven't been teaching for 45 years, like some of my coworkers. And so coming in, and using a frame, like one of my favorites is like, hey, I noticed that you do a really good job with transitions. And hey, I'm learning this role and I just really, really like how you do that. Is it okay if I come in and just learn from you? And so like this frame of like a learner modeling that as a coach, it creates something in teachers where they become learners. And now I have teachers that have been teaching for 45 years looking to me saying, hey, David, I think I need some help with like my engagement. And would you just help me with this? Would you be a sounding board for me? Or would you come in and co-teach? Or would you lead this lesson? I just want to get some fresh ideas. So it's really about this idea of like lead as learner, lead with vulnerability. You know, I think Brené Brown talks about like that a lot of like vulnerable leadership. And I really believe that's the role of the coach is like, hey, this is who I am. Let me define this role. I'm not here to do anything that you think. I'm here to support and I'm here to learn. I'm here to push us further, not to make you a robot, to make you better you. And so that's really the way I've helped create this culture. And again, it's not like, oh, hey, there it is. We did it. There, we finished. Like the culture's perfect. No, it's like an everyday thing, as you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what I'm hearing is you're reaching out to those individual teachers. You're building relationships. You're building trust with those teachers by being this learner and by being a partner instead of by coming in and like evaluating, right? Instead of, sometimes saying like some people, they say, oh, well, you don't want to say good things because then that's evaluating. We all,
right.
It's a good thing to see good things. I really don't think that's true. I think that if you can never say a positive, I don't know that anyone wants to be around you.
Right. Yeah.
Reality. You want to appreciate what you see. And I think that goes a long way towards building those relationships and building trust that, oh, that he does see the good things in me. He sees the strength that I have as a teacher. So then I would like to invite this person into my classroom, you know?
Yeah. I think I've heard that argument, right? Like, hey, this role is non-evaluative. So that means negative and positive. Right. So, and I also agree with you. I disagree with that because I think some of my biggest success stories are going into, some would call like very difficult learning teachers, like teachers that are like, hey, I've done this. I know what I'm doing. I got this. Going in there and just saying, wow, hey, man, you're a rock star. Like, wow, I love the way you redirected that student when he was acting up. Hey, I just gotta say, that was really, really good. I love learning from you. And like building this trust, like what we talked about earlier of like, if I can look someone in the eye and say, or like make them feel, I'm on your side. I'm on your team. I'm team Chrissy right now. I'm your biggest fan right now. Then they invite you in. And I think there's a balance, right? Like you don't want to just blow smoke up everybody, but there's also this idea of like, whoa, this guy really likes me. Same thing with kids, right? Kids don't learn if they don't feel like the teacher likes them. Teachers won't invite you in unless they feel like you like them. And so not in a manipulative way, right? But in a genuine way where everybody has something really good about them. Even the most difficult, challenged, struggling teachers, we can find something. Mm-hmm. We can find something. So you just got to mine for the good stuff. It also helps as a coach, right? Like if my tape that I'm recording or that I'm listening to is saying, oh, this teacher, man, she hate going in her class. Oh, man, she's not that good at this. Or, man, she's really struggling with her management. And if I'm just telling myself that, it's going to, you know, play out in the way I think about her and the way I think about or talk to them instead of saying, hey, what good can I find? And so, yeah.
I like that. That's very true because, you know, as a new coach, I can remember there were classrooms that I was like, had a lot of anxiety about going into, you know,
for sure.
In room that when you walk down the hallway, they make you nervous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You hear what's going on in there and you're like, oh boy. And you do have to kind of reframe your thinking in order to be a better support to the teacher and to get to those kids who are having many of those issues. Oftentimes it's like behavioral, you know, management.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get yourself to go into those rooms and do the work if you have that frame of mind that, oh, it's going to be so awful. That she's not going to want to hear from me. And, you know, all of that plays in your head over and over again. It's really hard to motivate yourself to do the hard stuff.
For sure. And I mean, and that's a real thing, right? I mean, even when it comes to philosophy of like teaching,
yes,
like there's certain people that we don't align. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just human nature. I naturally will spend more time in teachers' classes that I align with them. And man, I really feel like they're moving the needle. Uh-huh. It's easier. Yeah. They invite me. They appreciate me.
Right.
But then going into those classes that philosophy doesn't match, mindset doesn't match. Maybe they're having, you know, they're just having a really negative mindset about a lot of things. It's getting in those classes and just creating an empathy. It's so similar to like teachers and like difficult students, right? It's like, man, if I can train my brain to find the good. And I mean, there's just a quick story. There's a teacher here that, you know, she's going to just say it nicely. She's retiring in the next couple years, right? So she's up there a little bit and she's pretty set in her ways. And at one time she was probably really, really effective. Mm-hmm. But she's kind of got this mindset where she's coasting out and it's always the kids. It's blaming, you know, kids these days. And there's a group of kids that she just has a difficult time with. But getting in her class and just convinced, like telling myself, hey, this woman is like, she may have lost her why, like why she's in this class, but it's in there. It's in her heart somewhere. And I wonder if I can pull it out. And I wonder if I can just support her and challenge her. But I first got to get her on, like, I got to get her to believe I like her. I got to get her to believe that I'm on her team.
Yeah, you do.
And so that's the culture. Mm-hmm. That's the dance.
Yeah, I like that. I'm so glad that you shared about that because I think that that's where a lot of coaches find themselves and we can feel guilty about it. We can feel like, what am I doing wrong? It is very human. And so I think that's a great approach. So thanks for sharing about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in thinking about the next school year, what are some adjustments that you're planning to make in the way that you're planning on starting out again? Like, I know you mentioned a few things that you'll probably continue doing. What are some things that you're probably going to change?
Yeah. In the course, you talked about like getting into every, like And every site's a little bit different and it's set up a little bit different. At my site, I'm in charge of, you know, TK through sixth and cross the gamut, right? Like whether it be class engagement or behavior or math, or like I've even done like a model PE lessons before. So like mine's very broad. And I do my very best at the first couple weeks, the first few months to be in every class. But what I find is I'm only there for about 10, 15 minutes and I leave a note or whatever. What I'd like to do, and I'm thinking through this for next year of being really intentional with each teacher and like actually, I'm still playing this out, but like spending an entire day with every teacher in the beginning. Like probably go through a sweep where I get to, I'm visible with every teacher, but then taking a few weeks, because in the beginning I always feel like, oh, but I gotta do this, I gotta do that.
Right.
But taking a few weeks, I feel like it's gonna set a foundation for the rest of the year of, hey, Mrs. Smith, or hey, Mr. Brown, hey, next Wednesday, I got nothing on my calendar. Would it be okay if I spent the entire day with you, just co-teaching? I'd love to even plan something with you, but just spending an entire day, because it's one thing to spend 15 minutes and it's another thing to actually do life with them for a day or a couple days. I had a few teachers that were just hard to access this last year, and by saying, hey, I don't have to do anything, but I'd love to just spend a day or two with you. And I ended up spending 3 days straight in a TK class, transition to kindergarten, which is not my wheelhouse. I came from upper grade. I taught for over a decade in sixth. So in this idea of like, hey, I want to learn a little more. Can I spend like 3 days straight, or, you know, a couple days straight, just like learning almost as like a, master teacher, student teacher relationship. I found that, like immersion and my relationship with this teacher and her needs, right? Like I was able to really feel like, oh, okay. I can help with, you know, maybe math, she doesn't feel as comfortable. She's telling me this now and I'm getting to see it. Or hey, you know, work-life balance even. Or hey, finding what are we doing in our breaks, our recesses that are effective. So I feel like the immersion method, I'm still trying to figure out what that looks like, because, you know, there is a balance of like, now, okay, I'm wasting time. I could be doing other things. But I just really feel like it's not going to be a waste of time if I just immerse myself, if I can convince teachers to let me just be part of their day, even if it's I'm just here to support that difficult child while you get your class rolling. But just being there before the bell to after the bell and debriefing, just like, hey, how do you feel that went? And so that's kind of one of my, in preparation for next school year, one of my thoughts of, I want to just really know every teacher, because even now, this time of school year, I haven't really been part of everybody's class. I've been in everybody's class,
right,
but I haven't been part of it. And I'd like to be a part of everybody's class as I move forward. So anyway, I don't know, I guess that's one of those like little thoughts in the world, in the air. How does that feel for you? Like as you're hearing it, I mean, you've been around coaching for a while, and you know what works. And so like, how does that sound as you hear it?
I can definitely see the benefits of that, because as you're talking about it, I'm thinking about classrooms that I did spend a lot of time in early on, full days, you know, with maybe newer teachers or teachers who are new to a grade level and were like, oh my gosh, like, you know, mm-hmm. We had teachers move from kinder to fourth grade, like the week before school started. And they were like, like shocking. And it was just so different.
Yes.
And so I spent a lot of time with those teachers, and you really do develop that relationship so differently, that they do trust you and that you do know them better. And you really get a much more clear picture of not only what the kids can do at that level, what that class is like of kids, because that is also very telling, like you're saying, I didn't have a lot of experience in primary grades. So the time I spent in, you know, kinder, pre-K, first and second was very enlightening to me, having been a third and fourth grade teacher for years.
Yeah.
So that is helpful, but it's also helpful to see truly what that teacher does well, what they really do, what that, you know, because sometimes whenever you walk in, they get flustered and it's not really what they would be doing. And if you're there for a long time, hopefully they can ease into that and become more comfortable and not be so anxious around you. And yeah, I could see if you can make it work logistically, because that would have been the challenge for me because of the different kinds of responsibilities that I had.
For sure.
If you could make it work logistically, I could definitely see why that would be really great. I could even see doing, I mean, if in for people who are listening to this that had a role that looked more like mine, that are like, how could I, you know, I've got 40 teachers and that would take me, you know, 2 months and, and also I wouldn't be able to do a full day, you know, consider a half day, consider at least one teacher per grade level, consider, you know, maybe if you want to get to know teachers who are new to the grade level and maybe, you know, visit with them and see what their day is like. You could do it in categories. If you can't logistically do everybody, you could, you know, figure out what is important about this. So then who do I focus on? You know, what matters about me spending time in the classroom? So then where do I focus my energy if you can't get to everybody? But if you can, that would be pretty amazing. Because then you, hopefully you're investing the time. Like, let's say this takes you the first 3 months of school. Mm-hmm. Let's say it does, you know, you've invested that time. You've already made gains with teachers just from being in their rooms. And then over time, you're planning to stay there for a few years at least. You're putting money in the bank.
And then your deposit,
And then next year and the year after, you're going to continue to reap the rewards of that time, even if you can't spend as much time with them in the future. So I can definitely see if your schedule would allow for that, I could totally see why that would be a great idea. That is pretty
good.
And it would really be, it would be fun too. You know, I had a dream just last night that I went back to the classroom. Like, I don't, I dream about this every now and then, especially this time of year and over the summer and in the fall, I start thinking about, going back, what would that be like? And, and you know, you miss it. And so it sure would be fun to spend, you know, whole days in classrooms with the same teacher and really get to know the kids and get to know their routine and understand what's going on there. That would be really neat.
Yeah. You know, I love that idea. And I like the idea of like even half days, because it is, I got 25 teachers. So I know schools that have way more, and some teacher or coaches have multiple sites, right? So it's not ideal, but I like the half day, or even like each, like maybe grade level team, like lead teacher, just like getting a pulse, but also making that investment, making the deposit early on, planting the seed. You know, there's a little, I have a little thing on my wall here. It says seeds are better than switches, which is this idea that patience, you know, you plant a seed, you watch, you water it, you put it in the right soil, you watch it grow, rather than a switch where you just flip it. And I think we live in a very switch world. Like, hey, this curriculum is going to save us, or this, here's the magic bullet, you know. In education, there are none of those easy fixes. And so patience, seeds, this is a year process. This is a 2-year process, knowing that, man, if we're going to move the needle for education, if my role is effective, then I got to be thinking big game. I got to be thinking the long game. Yeah, I'm going to get some short game wins. I got to do something this week that's going to help this one teacher, but I can't be thinking in that way all the time. And so that's kind of the thought. That's the goal with that.
Yeah. I really love that idea. That's a neat idea. And I would love to hear about, if you kind of play with that, let me know how it goes, because that does sound really neat. And I could see the reasons to do that, like the benefits of that would be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. All right.
We'll see. Well, you know, and go ahead. What's really nice about the course is like, I got it, you know? And so like, it's not like it's a one-time done deal. I'm planning to spend this summer. Hey, let me get back into this course. Let me refresh my brain, because it's the momentum idea. It's really easy to get comfortable, and it's really easy to just sit back and say, well, that worked, let me just do that again. So I appreciate the idea that, hey, this is a course, it's an investment. but it's not just for this last school year. I get to just tap into these resources because I didn't get to everything. There's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot in that. And maybe certain things popped out at me because they were like on my heart. I'm fully expecting that other things will pop out. I'm fully expecting that while these four, you know, these areas were, you know, hey, they were really helpful. Yeah, they're going to be really helpful moving forward. But I wonder what else is going to be really helpful. So I don't know, just to end on that of like, yeah, I really appreciate the podcast, but I also really appreciate this idea that, hey, yeah, I made an investment into my school, into my community, into education, but I'm also, it's an investment in my personal growth as a coach.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your words about the course. And I am so glad that it was helpful to you and that you found some real value in it and that it's going to be helpful to you moving forward. And we're going to continue to do, I'll do the live support again in a Facebook group, which is always kind of fun to see, like people will post their coaching menus or people will post, you know, whatever artifact they make. And I love to see that because everybody has a different take on things and
yeah,
some people are so crafty. So definitely join us and check in and see what everybody's sharing about. And thank you so much for being here today. It was so helpful to me and I'm so glad. I love that idea. I hope it pans out for you. And I hope that you have a great start to your next year.
Thank you, Chrissy. And thank you for all you do for us coaches.
Wow,
so
thanks.
keep up the good work.
Thank you. I always love chatting with David. He was actually a guest on the coaching schedules episode. And so you're going to want to check that one out if you enjoy listening to him as well. He always has so many good ideas and he's so thoughtful about his coaching work that he is just the best guest. So remember to go grab that jumpstart course at buzzingwithmissb.com/jumpstart. Join the waitlist for instructional coaching startup at buzzingwithmissb.com/startup. And then next week, we're actually starting a 4-week series about the first 20 days of instructional coaching. We're going to look first about why it's important to establish yourself in the school system right out of the gate, either the first week of school or right before the first week of school. And you can get all the step-by-step instructions and every single document that you will need at instructionalcoaching.com/startup. So make sure you join me for startup this summer. I cannot wait to do it again. I had so many good experiences with coaches last year, and I know you're going to love it. Until next week, happy coaching. Now that you've got so much to think about, head over to buzzingwithmissb.com to grab some free downloads, become a VIB, and check out the podcast show notes. Happy coaching!